A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN F, Fubo, Sling, Game Plus. What I forget? iHeartRadio. Jason's looking at me like, what do you mean, what you forget? How you doing, Jason?
Good. Good morning, Gil. How are you?
Good. You brave the snow?
I could not believe it. Snow dusted over the entire mountains yesterday.
Yeah.
And snowing this morning as well. Did not associate Vegas with snow when I moved.
You're regretting your entire life decision right off the bat. You're like, oh, why did I do this?
Oh, it's far enough away, but still close enough. It's really beautiful.
I live in the heart of the Strip, and there was no real snow accumulation. So it's still not like it was 2 or 3 years ago. 2 or 3 years ago in the wintertime, it was full accumulation on the roof of my building right in City Center, which was just the most amazing thing in the world. But not really a surprise, because for those of us who love sports and sports betting, if you did the barometer of Vegas weather by March Madness, which is when you have your buddies come into town from wherever you grew up, and that's how me and my buddies get together through the years, pre-VSiN and during VSiN. But March Madness, the first weekend of March Madness, we used to be able to never think about it. We'd be laying out at the pool. No problem. Like, it wouldn't even be a second thought. Yeah, we'll go to the pool all day. We'll bet on basketball. The last 3 or 4 years, obviously last year we didn't have it because of the pandemic and college basketball being shut down. But the last 3 or 4 years, you couldn't do that during March Madness. Like, it was still pretty cold. So definitely things are shifting. I don't know if you know about this, Jason. Climate change is afoot.
I've heard rumors.
Yeah. Allegedly. By the way, on the show today, we should probably point this out. Adam Snagel will join us from the Rejecting the Screen podcast. It is the 1 year anniversary. I hate using that word, but that's what I hear being bantied about. Of Kobe Bryant's passing. Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven others on that tragic helicopter crash a year ago. Adam Snagel and his buddy Noah Kozlov with a special Rejecting the Screen podcast. We'll play a few clips from their tribute to Kobe, which is just awesome. And then we'll talk to Adam about the NBA. Dan Bespris is going to start things off momentarily with us to talk all things NBA. Drew Dinsick to talk National Football League, as he does each and every Tuesday. Whale Capper. We will revisit the championship games, get his take, of course, on that decision to kick a field goal, how he views the Super Bowl. We'll get into all of that with Drew. I just want to start, before we get to Dano, I want to start about, you know, for those who missed the show yesterday, so there's two basic tenets I want to talk about Super Bowls in general. One was on the game line itself. I mentioned this yesterday, but for those who missed it, again, the Super Bowl, and no one quite knows all the things that are happening with this, but for whatever reason, the public bets underdogs during the regular season one way, and then they change their behavior during the Super Bowl. So during the regular season, they take the dog plus the points, generally speaking. And then in the Super Bowl, massive amounts of bettors, and we don't, you know, is it because it's their last shot of the season or whatever it is? When they bet the dog, they'll bet the dog on the money line. So what you have is a muted money line price by kickoff on the favorite. So while the Chiefs, we're showing here on the screen, the Chiefs are minus 173, you can wait on that. And if history is any guide, you could probably get the Chiefs right around, I mean, the Patriots against the Falcons, I use that example, because that dipped all the way into the minus 140s on the Patriots. I don't know if you get that low.
It was 170 yesterday, so it actually did go the other way a little bit.
Yeah, but by kickoff, it'll go down. It'll go down is the money. I mean, think about it. We talked to Johnny Avello last week, Thursday night on Primetime Action, and he said for the championship games, he had only gotten 5% of his handle. So we're 2 days into a two-week thing. We're not even close to 5% yet of the handle. So once this happens, that Chiefs money line ought to go down. That's the first sort of law of the Super Bowl in terms of betting. The other one is, and we talk about this year after year. It's so funny. We've talked about it on the podcast so many years that now when I bring it up, like I brought it up last night on Primetime Action, and I said to Kelly Bidlin, our producer, I'm like, hey, do you know the prop that flummoxes public bettors the most? He's like, oh, yeah, sure, it's this one. And I'm like, oh, there you go. He doesn't even know. Like, it's like we've been saying it for so many years. So there is one prop year in and year out, which is a template prop, right? There's the unique ones that will have to do with, you know, the weekend being the halftime show, right? Those are novelty props. But there are template props that they'll put up for any Super Bowl matchup every year. And one of the template props that you'll see is, will not there on the screen, but the one will a team score three times in a row? Will any team score three times in a row in the Super Bowl, not including extra points or two-point conversions. Those are thrown out of that prop. But will any team score, will either team, I should say, score three times in a row? And the no is a huge dog. It's Gil Alexander. This is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Sling, Game Plus, and of course iHeartRadio. So will either team score three straight times without the other team scoring? In other words, conversions excluded. The no is a big dog price, and here you see an example of that globally. The no is plus 180. And most casual bettors actually view this prop, and they're like, what do you mean? These are the best two teams in football. They're great teams. Of course it's unlikely that they'll let the other team score three times in a row. No is plus 180? Let me bang that. But it happens all the time. Happens all the time. And that is actually perfectly priced where it is. Properly priced, I should say. So that's the prop that flummoxes casual bettors the most. Immediately they gravitate towards the no, when in fact, that's exactly what the price ought to be, historically speaking, with that.
Are you going to bet it?
Nope, because it's right where it's supposed to be.
No value.
No value. We'll talk about some props later. Super Bowl props have not come out in earnest fully yet, but we'll talk about a couple later on the show that I think you can sort of get a sense of how you would approach it and how you would bet it.
They come out this week, though, typically, right? It's Thursday. Isn't it like sort of a big deal on Thursday?
Yeah, some at DraftKings have trickled out. You might see some at FanDuel. But in terms of like the big influx here in Vegas, typically Thursday of this week was the day where the Westgate used to put them out. I'm not so sure folks are going to wait anymore. I would imagine they'd come out a little earlier this year, but here we are Tuesday morning, so who knows on that. But they will come out at some point at every spot this week. Let's talk to Dan Bespris. Let's talk a little NBA from the Fantasy NBA Today podcast. And, of course, the assistant GM at hoop-ball.com. The best audio in the business and one of the few people on earth who had a podcast before I did. It's Dan Bespris. How you doing, Dano?
Good morning, Gil. Good morning. I'm all right. I'm spry today. The whole family woke up super early, so my voice had some time to wake up too.
your toddler Asher texted me again. I had no idea what was happening, but thank you for that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he declined your invite to come on the show.
Yeah, I was like, Dan, you want to come on the show tomorrow? I get a no from Asher. That's great. I'm like, no. What's going on?
Yeah, what? He texts with my wife at work and my mother, and he was just like, I went into this one, and I'm like, oh no, which one is this one? Well, it was Gil,
yeah.
And he declined your offer, so sorry, he's not coming on today.
Yeah, Asher no longer a toddler, I should point out. If he was a toddler, that would be very awesome if he was texting with that kind of with those kind of questions to your family. All right, yeah, Dan.
They're toddlers until they're like 12 in my estimation.
let's start here. So I use my buddy in Tommy. I use my buddy in D.C. His name is Tommy, my oldest friend, as sort of a barometer for the everyman. And the everyman, who is a sports fan, is all about football, football, football. And then they only start to gravitate towards basketball and hockey right around now when football is getting into the Super Bowl and it's time to, point your eyes elsewhere. So if I were to say to Tommy, if I were to go to Tommy right now and say, okay, Tommy was like, give me a synopsis of what's happened in the NBA season so far, COVID, how that's related to it, what's going on. Like, what would be your three or four major bullet points you would point out to him from an NBA and NBA betting perspective?
Well, I think the thing that everyone would talk about the most is the postponements and the NBA trying to figure out how to deal with COVID. So that, I know that's not really necessarily a betting only description of the NBA season so far. But if somebody's like, what's been going on? I think you'd have to say, we've lost a bunch of games, Tommy. We've lost a bunch of games. but on the other side, well, right. I'm talking to Tommy here. So Okay. I'm diving in full force. The other stuff I think is, bad teams are not as bad as people expected. I had some season win total overs floating around on almost every team that was expected to be terrible this year. And whether they're not as awful as expected or other teams are just sort of not as engaged as expected, either way, teams like the Knicks, the Hornets, the Cavs, they're actually winning some ball games. And the only one that sort of isn't, I think, is the Minnesota Timberwolves right now. And then the third thing is, from a bet, this one much more a betting related note, because of scheduling quirks, because of the NBA setting up all of these back-to-backs with teams, you have this very weird, rare opportunity to stare at a team matchup and then know they're going to do it again the next day. You very rarely in sports have an opportunity to get real-time data on a bet before you make it. And that's basically what the NBA has set up for us, where you can watch two teams play and you can say, okay, here's some things that I'm fairly certain will be adjusted or will revert towards a mean when they play again tomorrow. And even the coaches have said it's a little bit playoff-like, where you get to play the same team, you get to make these little tweaks, and there's money to be made on those rematches.
Let me ask you about something that happened last night. We were, again, we do primetime action at night. It's on MSG+. It's Matt Brown, Danielle Alvari, Kelly Bidlin, and I. And we get to watch these NBA games. They're all at once on like five or six different screens. And last night, we were watching the Sixers. And the Sixers right now, they have the best record in the Eastern Conference, even after losing yesterday to the Pistons. They're 12-6. Early going, you know, we're not even, you know, we're just over 20% of the way through the NBA regular season, a truncated 72-game season. But you watched that game last night, and Joel Embiid was sitting. And there was a few thoughts that ran through our collective heads. One, is Joel Embiid the front runner for MVP? Because as soon as you take him out of the Sixers lineup, what you get is a horrific product, right? That's question number one. And question number two is, like, that product was so bad last night. Did Ben Simmons, does anybody ever tell Ben Simmons, hey, look, Ben, I know you only like to shoot the ball three times a game, but like when Joel's not playing, maybe up it to, you know, 10 shots a game. Like, does anybody have this conversation with him? It is horrific to watch.
It was bad, and it has been bad. And you're right. I mean, there is actually a little bit of value in Joel Embiid as MVP. Now, he's going to have to play the majority of games the whole way through this year. And that, I think, was always my fear with even considering him, is that I don't have the number in front of me right now, but I think he's maxed out at about 62, 63 games in an 82-game NBA season. He looks generally healthy so far. They're giving him these rest days just to kind of keep him in tip-top shape, but his numbers are massive. They run their offense through him. He gets, I think, more post touches than anyone else in the NBA, and for good reason. I don't know that you can change Ben Simmons. I don't know that they really want him taking more shots, because shots tend to clang off the rim and come out. He needs to be facilitator, fast break Ben Simmons. And if they try to change who he is, I think you get a little bit cockeyed. I think there's also, you know, this was one of those rematch games as well, so there was some other weird stuff going on. Detroit kind of wanted it, and Philly was sort of floating through the game a little bit in typical NBA regular season 80% effort fashion. But yeah, there's some value on that. And I think even on this show before the season started, or right after, I said I think Philly is a little bit of your dark horse team because they're built so differently than other teams in the NBA. It's specifically, they actually use their big man to score the basketball. So yes, this is a very long answer to a short question. Yes, Joel Embiid is in the mix for NBA MVP. He's going to have to stay healthy. And two, I don't know if I want Ben Simmons actually shooting it more. I think, you know, I would prefer that they play more defense when Embiid's not in there. I mean, they're pretty good, and they didn't really defend Detroit yesterday. But if you have him shooting more, it might not be a good thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because I understand the sentiment, but at some point, like, you have to show a pulse like that. I think that's the difference, where I'm just like, okay, dude, like, you can't be Ben Simmons and play an entire NBA game and hoist up three shots. This is when Embiid is actually playing. Like, that to me is you just luck into more shots. And that's it's an interesting thing to watch, because people still think he's a superstar, and I just reject that wholly. But, you know, that performance last night was so bad, we even floated. We're like, next time Joel Embiid doesn't play, it's an auto fade on the Sixers until proven wrong. That's how bad they looked without Embiid yesterday. You don't want to read in too much into one game. But that was an interesting thing to observe. The other thing I would tell my buddy Tommy, of course, Dan, is totals and bad beats are just as bad as they ever were. So for the beginning of this season, I know we're only like, you know, again, we're not even a quarter of the way through the NBA season here. Or actually, we're right around a quarter of the way through. But, you know, one of the things with totals, I was saying to you last week, the guy that I know that is the best totals better in the NBA, who just kills it every year. He started the season, he couldn't win anything because everything's so squirrely. Then it sort of shifted into, oh, he's back to normal. It's all sort of going, you know, as it were. And then all it takes is like one night of like horrific bad beats. There was a couple games on Saturday, and I don't know if you were.
I think I might have been on them. I was on the under in Phoenix, Denver. Were you with me on that
one? That was one of them. That was the worst. So under in Phoenix, Denver took two overtimes to beat us. Buzzer beaters at the end of regulation and the first overtime. That was brutal.
We spent the rest of this segment just talking about why NBA teams don't foul up three when Frank Kaminsky's facing half court.
Oh, Dano, I've said this.
Someone, what are you doing?
Okay, so I've said this on the show maybe 30 times over the years. If I knew, this is as an in-game better, if I knew you, a team up three, if I knew that coach was going to foul the opposing team, I would lay, with like 3 seconds left in the game, I'd lay minus 1,500 on that team winning if I knew the coach was going to foul up three. If I didn't know, if I knew that he was not going to foul, I wouldn't lay minus 150 on it. You know, like that's how big of a difference that would be to my bet. But some of these coaches, they just don't foul.
Just don't foul. And I get it. There's a fear there that they're going to foul on a three-pointer and they're going to lose. But if you're watching, and this game that we're talking about, for people that didn't watch it and didn't suffer the way we did, in both regulation and overtime, the team that tied it on a buzzer-beating three was winding the clock down. Like there, I think there were about 8 seconds left. Jamal Murray was traveling his way to the left side of the court before his buzzer beater. And then in the overtime period, Frank Kaminsky was spinning in a double team, just pivoting.
Just had nowhere to go. Yeah,
had nowhere to go. They abandoned Jay Crowder who hit the tying three pointer. But Kaminsky wasn't shooting. He was facing half court. If you have the clock winding down, I mean, there was less than two. I think there were less than 2 seconds left at that point. You can bear hug that guy. He's not going to get the shooting foul. The NBA has changed their rules to where a guy actually has to be in the motion. Sorry, I get sidetracked here, but that was so upsetting. Twice, each team had a chance to actually do it right, and they both biffed it.
And under goes to die in double overtime. It was brutal, by the way, right at that moment. But the girlfriend says, hey, my friend Wendy wants to talk to you on FaceTime. I'm like, oh, God, not right now. It's like, hey, Wendy, how's it going? Just no idea what's happening. The other one that night, I don't know if you caught this, for those of us who had the under in the Pelicans game on Saturday, the Pelicans were playing, I want to say it was the Timberwolves, was it? Yeah. Minnesota beat the Pelicans 120 to 110. And this was a game that looked like it was a dead under with 2 minutes left. Like it wasn't even close. And then all of a sudden, a three-point fest and a college basketball-like foul game. Like it was the weirdest thing. It's like, Pelicans, you're not winning this game. Like you're down double digits and like random fouls. I was like, what is happening? Like I woke up and I'm watching a college basketball game all of a sudden with this under. So it was horrible. Two of those. And so, yeah, I would tell that to Tommy too. It's like the bad beats don't stop. It's awful.
No. And they stick with you for so long. You never remember the nice lucky wins, but you remember the bad beats for a month and a half or longer.
Yeah. Short NBA card tonight, Dan. Only three games. I mean, I don't know if you have a play on any of these, but one of them's interesting, right? Because people are going to look and they're going to see the Hawks are favored over the Clippers, and they're going to be like, wait, I'm catching five with the Clippers? But there's obviously a big reason for that, isn't there?
Yeah, Clippers are without Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, both in the health and safety protocol, and then Pat Beverly hurt his knee, so you know he at least is not COVID-related. I'm a little curious, Gil, what you think on this one, because I would have thought everyone looks at that and immediately fades the Clippers hearing that their superstars is out. But do you think people look at it and see Clippers plus five and don't even worry about who's out?
Well, they shouldn't do that. But I do think there is always an overreaction. We were talking about this with Andy McNeil in hockey yesterday, like how most people are going to see these late scratches from games or COVID-related things, like in the case of the Washington Capitals, and they're immediately, right, the average bettor is going to immediately go the other side as if these things aren't baked into lines already. And of course they are. So, yeah, no, I hope that people wouldn't just auto-fade the Clippers on this, and maybe at plus five, I'm sure there's some serious pro bettors who may even find some value on the Clipper side at this point.
Yeah, it's the only bet I'm looking at on the card tonight. I don't really much care for the other two games. The Wizards are kind of figuring out how to play again because they didn't play for almost 2 weeks. The Rockets are missing some bodies. They have others. They've actually been playing kind of well with Boogie at starting center. The Jazz are just running everybody, but I can't lay 10.5 points in the NBA for any reason at all, really. So the Clippers is kind of the only thing I'm looking at. I guess that qualifies as a bet that will make you throw up in your mouth a little bit.
There it
more
is.
More than likely. I know, I had to sneak it in there, Gil.
It's your brand now.
But it is. That's what a brand, too. I'm going to get a T-shirt.
Let's get a graphic going, guys.
Please, no.
Yeah.
Please, no graphic. I'm probably leaving this card alone tonight. Don't really much care for anything. But if I was going to do something, it would be the Clippers. I think you see these other guys raise their level of play basically for one night. You see that often. There's an injured star theory we could get into if there was a little bit more time. But probably not touching it, because there's also the opposite side here where they're not covering for one star for one night. They don't really know how long they're going to be without their guys. Can they come together? I would say +5 is a decent number to get with them. And then I would look to maybe fade the Clippers later this week when they start to run out of gas.
So injured star theory would have applied if it were just a one game thing. Is that what you were getting at there?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. There's just sort of this nebulous COVID thing going on where I think I'd still lean in the Clippers direction on this game. But in general, if a team is missing one guy and they know the length of time and it's short term, the other guys can play a little bit harder. They can go from 80 to 90% and you get line value. It's a nice combo package. It's a little bit weird with Clippers and both guys in COVID protocol.
All right, Dano, I always appreciate it, man. I like our little Tuesday talks. Let's keep it going and have your son continue to text me. I always enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to put your text on lock it now. I don't know if I can do that.
I enjoy that. Thank you, Dano. Appreciate it.
Later, Gil.
We'll come back. Kobe stories from Adam Stanko. We'll look at some tweets. Drew Dinsick on the NFL. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander.
With the football playoffs, the basketball, and hockey games every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. We're at Mandalay Bay on Saturdays and Sundays. Jason is down there sometimes. Check us out. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. When we're at Mandalay Bay, is that usually Brady and Wes who are down there?
Yeah, it's usually one there and one here at
one there
South
and one
Point.
There. Yeah. Wes Reynolds, the true encyclopedia of all sports.
Yeah, I don't throw the word genius around a lot, but the guy
he knows it all.
Genius, man.
So he's outstanding. Outstanding. And Brady is, of course, as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback at Beating the Book. John Fitzgibbons. This is yesterday. By the way, I botched this yesterday, right? Because we were doing our whole autopsy on Green Bay, Tampa Bay. And I was talking about Green Bay's decision to kick a field goal, fourth and goal at the 8 with just over 2 minutes left, and how, you know, the people in the analytics community were saying it was incrementally, it was the correct thing to do. And how I love analytics. But for me, I agree with Drew Dinsick, who's on the show later. Call me old-fashioned. I would have gone for it. Like, to me, however many decades of football versus you telling me there's a 2.5%. And as much as I respect the guys who came up with this model that said it was an okay decision to kick the field goal, you'll never convince me of that, right, in this particular case. And John Fitzgibbons puts it exactly how I should have yesterday, considering I've said it so much it's on a T-shirt. He said, Gil, if there was ever an example of betting truth serum, that was it. Bucks bettors love the fourth and goal field goal. Packers bettors screamed, what are you doing? 100% right. It's exactly right. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. There's your T-shirt. Betting truth serum, available in all kinds of colors, all kinds of sizes.
VSiN.com/store.
I owe you a I owe you something from the VSiN store, Jason. We'll work on that after, because absolutely, everybody else on the crew got one, but you deferred.
Yes, well, now there's a design that I'm super, super, super excited about that we were working on that's in the store.
Really?
Yeah, the a numbers game one, I'm extra excited.
Oh, you decided to kick off in the first half and receive in the second.
Yes.
It's going to work out for you.
Deferred.
Yeah. All right, so here we go. Here's some more tweets at Beanie the Book. So thank you for that, John Fitzgibbons. Aptly put. Let's see. This one is from Okay. Here's one from because I don't want to read these. Ron Burgundy. I'm editing through. Jordan Pagel. I think I bet the no on three unanswered scores in a dozen games this season. 1-2. There it is. He's 2 for 12. So that shows you again, when we're getting back to the prop that flummoxes most bettors, just his little sample size corroborating what we're saying. The no looks so juicy to the casual bettors. Oh my God, it's the Chiefs and the Bucks. Of course they won't let the other team score three times. Conversions excluded. Nope, that's properly priced. The yes should be -235, actually, on that. Thank you for that, Jordan. JD, I have a ton of open position on Tampa Bay to win the Super Bowl. Was looking to hedge a portion of my position with potentially using Patrick Mahomes at plus 100 to win the MVP, I'm assuming he means. Thoughts on this? So we talked about the MVP. We were actually talking about it weeks in advance. Like, if you thought Green Bay was going to win the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers was available like plus 600 a couple weeks back. That didn't work out. Patrick Mahomes was not quite as available at that good odds, but it was still like 4-1 or plus 375 or something like that. Well, now he's plus 100. Yeah, in theory, that's a pretty good way to hedge your, at least partially hedge your Tampa Bay position. Again, is it guaranteed that Patrick Mahomes will win the MVP if Kansas City wins the Super Bowl? Nothing's a guarantee. But
if
just
you
take,
look at last year, like, you could have made a case that it should have gone to the running back last year, Damian Williams.
Well, and let's not even look at last year. Let's look at 2 days ago. So 2 days ago, the Chiefs beat the Bills, right? And you look at the box score of this game. Travis Kelce, 13 catches for 118 yards and 2 touchdowns. Tyreek, 9 catches for 172. If they were giving an MVP for the AFC Championship, who would you have given it to? I asked this question on Primetime Action last night, and in the instant that I asked it, people in Kelly's ear, people on set, and in my head, we had three different answers: Mahomes, Hill, Kelce. No one could come up with who should have been the MVP of that game. But it was not clear cut.
Who makes the vote?
Writers.
Just a group of writers have that at the very end?
They have that drunk with power sense about them. But just in general, just answer the tweet. Yes, that's a good method to do it. But is it foolproof? Is it a clean hedge? It is not, for the reason stated. Likely. I mean, look, if you do it historically, quarterbacks, last 14 Super Bowls, 10 have been quarterbacks who have won the MVP. But there's never a guarantee. And when you have Tyreek and Travis filling up a box score, you never know. You never know. Adam Stanko on the way. We'll talk more NBA and his tribute to Kobe on the anniversary, the one-year anniversary of the passing of a legend. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
We are gearing up for the big game here at VSiN, and of course, keeping you up to date on every other sports betting opportunity on the board. And this week, we've updated our programming lineup. The Lombardi Line is now 2 hours every weekday, right after this show, from noon to 2 Eastern. And we're excited to introduce The Nuts with their debut yesterday. That's with a Z, The Nuts, with Mike Pallman and Amal Shaw at 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday. Did you listen yesterday, Jason?
I did.
Did they break the internet?
I'm not sure, but it was informative and interesting podcast or show.
It's a show, by the way. It's not a podcast.
It was a show.
We also have our special big game preview show with Brett Musburger coming soon to get you ready for all the Super Bowl betting and prop action. You can always find our lineup on VSiN.com or in your daily VSiN subscriber email, and make sure to check out The Nuts weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. This is the one-year anniversary of the passing of Kobe Bryant, his 13-year-old daughter Gianna, and seven others in that tragic helicopter crash in Southern California 1 year ago today. A true, we always remember where we were moment in our lifetime. I remember where I was, brunch with the girlfriend and her daughter, and Adam Stanko texted me with the news, and it was sort of one of those moments where you just sort of freeze for 5 seconds. You're sort of catatonic because you couldn't believe, like, your eyes were sort of, am I reading these words correctly? Adam hosts, co-hosts a podcast called Rejecting the Screen with his buddy Noah Kozlov. And this week, and they just put it out today, it is a whole tribute to Kobe Bryant with lots of stories, firsthand accounts. Here's just a minute from Rex Walters. Rex Walters, who is currently an assistant coach in the NBA and was a coach at USF, played in the NBA, played at Kansas collegiately, but in the 90s was in Philly. Here's his encounter with Kobe Bryant when Kobe was deciding, you know, what to do after high school and how that went.
As his national reputation grew, his status as a local legend was exploding. There were even rumors of the Lower Merion High School prodigy practicing with the Sixers and dominating the Sixers star wing Jerry Stackhouse in games of one-on-one. Rex Walters was on the Sixers in 96 and told us how he remembered it.
Kobe did come to practices, or he would come afterwards and come work out at St. Joe's, because me not knowing who Kobe was, like, you know, once again, I didn't follow high school basketball. I was an NBA player. I wasn't into that. I'm sitting there. I'm leaving to go home. I'm kind of straightening it up in the locker room, and Kobe sure enough walks in, and I'm like just making conversation with this kid. I'm like, hey, you know, what you doing here? He's like, yeah, I'm going to go work out. And I'm like, oh, you're a pretty good player? Like, this guy had to be looking at me like, what are you, some kind of idiot or something? Because, you know, and then I'm like, well, you know, what schools you looking at? He's like, oh, you know, I'm talking to Kansas. I'm talking to Carolina. He's like, but there's one other thing I'm thinking about. And I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, well, hey, you know, Dean Smith was a great coach for Michael Jordan. You know, you should think about Carolina. Obviously, Coach Williams is my coach, great coach. You should think about those schools, trying to help out my guy. You know, next thing you know, next preseason game, this guy's freaking, like, yelling over to his point guard, Nick Van Exel, like, hey, you know, I'm guarding. I'm like, I got a mouse over here. I got a mouse. I'm like, man, that's a little disrespectful. I tried to help you, my man, and you're calling mouse in the house on me. So obviously he had to be thinking to himself, what is this guy talking about?
the competitiveness of Kobe Bean Bryant. The co-host of the Rejecting the Screen podcast, Adam Stanko, joins us now. Adam, I'm sorry it's under these circumstances, but what a fine job you guys did with this episode, man.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Gil. It's, you know, it's we're trying to honor Kobe the best we could. And Noah and I both actually are from the same district in Pennsylvania that Kobe is. And I was a 95 graduate of Westchester East High School, District 1, Southeastern PA. Kobe went to Lower Merion, obviously graduated in 96. Noah's from the area as well. So there were a lot of people, a lot of ties through the years that I've had, knew about Kobe, guys had played with Kobe. There are just so many stories. I mean, Kobe and Rip Hamilton played against each other for district semifinals, you know, and then they're the best players on their team in the NBA finals years later. So there was just so much about Kobe that through the years, he, you know, hearing all the stories, knew what he was all about. And now, you know, it's still, I'm in disbelief thinking about it. I think I texted you a year ago today almost to find out even if it was true. Like, did you hear this? You know, you would probably know. Is this, you know, it was all still, it's still surreal.
It is surreal. And I didn't know. You were the first person I was like, what? And then the realization, I'm getting chills just saying this part, the realization that it was true as news trickled in. As far as those Kobe versus Stackhouse rumors that your buddy Noah just referred to at the top here, this is from this week's Rejecting the Screen podcast.
Yes. It's interesting. So as guys growing up in Southeastern PA, we had heard the stories. I mean, Kobe was a suburbs kid, so that's most important to realize. And so there was a lot of doubt as to whether he could make it in the NBA or what have you, but there was a lot of talk that Kobe was practicing with the Sixers. But the real rumor was that he was, you know, as we said, beating Stackhouse in games of one-on-one. And that wasn't true. And as the years have passed, it's gotten out that wasn't true. And in fact, it infuriated Stackhouse. Stackhouse was quoted as saying, in Jeff Perlman's book, and we interviewed Jeff Perlman as well, he was quoted as saying, you know, Kobe never said the rumors were true, but he never denied them either.
Yes,
so,
right.
So, you know, but it was just the idea that people thought that one of the better players in the league at the time, I mean, Jerry Stackhouse was an elite player in the NBA at that point in time. It was his best years. The idea that Kobe in 96 was regularly beating Stackhouse and that people believed it just told you what we thought of him. But Perlman also brings up another point, which is, here was a high school kid. A guard had never entered the NBA draft before. And here's a high school kid from the suburbs who is practicing against the Sixers and holding his own. And I think that was the remarkable part. And just incredible, just the talent he had. And he was only 17 years old at the time. People forget that. The talent he had and the confidence level was just through the roof.
It's amazing. And how many stories, how many different firsthand accounts and stories do you think you have in this episode?
Oh man, well, we have two parts of the podcast. There's 16 different people that are interviewed. So it's coaches, former teammates, former opponents, and then also writers. Jeff Perlman's book, Three Ring Circus, which is about the Kobe Shaq era. Howard Beck, who wrote for the LA Daily News while Kobe was in his heyday, and then even Andrew Bernstein, who is a famous photographer. He's a Hall of Fame photographer. And he told a story, Gil, that the first time that they met, they had a 20-year relationship and ended up doing the Mamba Mentality book together, which is a coffee book that's incredible. If people haven't read it, it's like in Through the Mind of Kobe with Andy's pictures. But through this book, incredibly, I'll tell you when we get back from the break. How about that, Gil?
All right. What a pro. He heard the music. He's like, I've got too much to say here. I'll tell you what. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up about Kobe, and we'll talk NBA today as well with Adam Stanko from the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Really a special episode this week commemorating, I don't even know, anniversary, commemoration. All the words seem inappropriate. It's the one year since the passing of Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven others. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Start the year with a risk-free first bet up to $500 at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Simply sign up and use bonus code VSIN500 to take advantage of the offer. Download the app today. Use bonus code VSIN500 to get back up to $500 on your first wager. Bet with confidence at BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia. Only excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Drew Dinsick coming up to talk NFL with us at the top of the hour. One more thing from this latest Rejecting the Screen podcast. 1 year ago, Kobe Bean Bryant passing away at the age of 41 with his daughter Gianna, 13, and seven others in that tragic helicopter crash in Southern California. This is, in fact, what Adam Stanko just alluded to, which is Jeff Perlman talking about, like, you know, we pass off these things. We're like, oh yeah, Kobe was practicing with the Sixers. We don't ever stop and think about, like, how heavy something like that is. Here's Jeff Perlman talking about it on Rejecting the Screen.
And like the thing that I think is really cool about Kobe and the Sixers workouts, he did not dominate Jerry Stackhouse at pure BS, but he took it to those guys. I ran cross country at University of Delaware. And I remember my first year freshman year, I went out to run with the rest of the team. And they were all seniors, and these guys were like all state and all county and all these great runners. And I was terrified. Like, I was absolutely terrified. I just wanted to hang with them. I was terrified. I was scared. I was just praying I'd be able to do it. This guy's running with the Philadelphia 76ers as a high school kid and, like, holding his own and doing it. Like, that's insane. And then the other thing, when he was in high school, that I really like is he would work out I got to remember the specifics. I'm going to actually reread the book before it comes out. So I, you know, which is sad that you have to do, but you do have to do, is he would work out and he drove from one workout to another workout place in the summer and made sure the heat in his car would be at full blast as he was driving just to build up his endurance. So like, I think he worked out at a track. It was like a 90 degree day outside in Philly, very humid, hot. Gets in the car, blasts the heat all the way, drives to the other workout. Like, he did little things like that that were just absolutely insane all the time.
It's amazing. Kobe Bryant from the Rejecting the Screen podcast. Adam, finish your story that you were beginning last segment, if you would.
Yeah, so I was saying, so Andy Bernstein, Hall of Fame photographer, had a 20-year relationship with Kobe Bryant, and they ended up putting together the book, Mama Mentality. But when they first met, it was at Media Day in 96, and Andy's going around introducing himself to all the players. And of course, Kobe had been drafted by the Hornets, traded to the Lakers. He's a rookie. He's a young kid at the time, just a teenager. And Andy says, "Hey, I'm Andy Bernstein." And Kobe says, "I know who you are." Andy goes, "Oh, that's funny, but there's no chance. We've never met before." And Kobe said, "Oh no, I've had all your posters and I study the credits on the poster to see who took the pictures." And it later came out as he started talking to Kobe, he realized Kobe would study the NBA photographers like Andy Bernstein and Nat Butler, because he figured there might be something in the way the pictures were taken that could get him potentially an edge in games. And so he not only studied what the players were like, what teams were like, he was a basketball fanatic, but he also was interested in who were the official NBA photographers taking these pictures and who had the credits on the poster. Incredible.
Jeez. Kobe Bryant, MVP of the league in 2007-2008. As you look at the league so far this year, you know, 20% of the way into a 72-game season, roughly, a little more, give or take, so 20-25% through. Who is your MVP? I was mentioning earlier with Dan Bespris, well, you take Joel Embiid off the Sixers, he seems pretty MVP-ish right now. Or is it LeBron for Kobe's old ball club?
I think it's down to those two, Gil. I mean, what Embiid's doing is remarkable. You know, it's really been incredible. Just a total culture change. He's become the alpha there in Philly. Obviously, it was a question of who's the guy there. Is it him? Ben Simmons? Is one of them going to get moved potentially? But you figure all the shooters that were now brought in, you got Doc Rivers' system, Daryl Morey now running things from a strategy side. This team is rolling, and it's mostly because of what Joel Embiid has done. And when he's on the floor, Sixers are almost unbeatable. And then the same thing, obviously, in the West could be said of LeBron. I mean, he's been remarkable. Anthony Davis right now struggling a bit, and LeBron is just, you know, looking like his youthful self. It's incredible what LeBron's been able to do. And really, it's been four teams that have stood out. It's hard to keep track in the NBA, I think, for a lot of fans because of the postponements and because guys sitting out and what's going on. But really, it's the Sixers right now dominating the East. And then you have three teams in the West, which have been really strong, all who have won eight of their last 10 games, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Jazz. Don't look now, but the Jazz are really figuring things out. So I think that's how you sum up the league at this point.
Don't tell Shaq that. The Jazz are figuring it out. What an awkward little exchange that was the other day with Spider.
It's so weird. It's so weird. I don't know. He's had a couple of those. You know, he told Christian Wood he didn't really know who he was. I mean, there's a few times that Shaq says it and puts these guys on the spot. I don't know what they're supposed to do. And it's one thing when it's someone standing 2 feet in front of you with a microphone and you kind of have an awkward exchange. You can go back and forth. You can kind of sense the humor. But when you're wearing a headset,
yeah,
and you're really, you know, just talking to a camera, it's a lot different. I don't know how those guys are supposed to react in that situation.
They were, you know what? Both Donovan Mitchell, KD earlier in the season, that they both reacted very appropriately. Donovan Mitchell was like, okay. You know, nothing different from what I've had going for the rest of my career. I thought it was a really actually emotionally mature response to what he was getting from Shaq there. One more thing here. My producer, Jason Kahn. Well, two things. One, you had an experience with the photographer, which you could share with Adam off air as well, with Kobe as well, which I think was interesting. But two, Jason has been trying to get me through text. He's pushing the Colin Sexton most improved player thing. Where did you get Colin Sexton at, Jason?
I got him at 50-1, but he's available out there at 30-1 at MGM.
Julius Randle, though, 20-1.
I like both of. I think those are two solid. Like, I think one of those two, you know, those are really solid opportunities.
Any thoughts on that particular market, Adam?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, Colin Sexton's proven to be the Cavs' best player. They're building around him right now. He's averaging nearly 25 points a game. His shot selection's really improved. And the interesting part, and I'm sure Jason picked up on this, is that anyone who saw the Cavs in their last few games before play was suspended last March picked up on the fact that this...
Nope. We just got...
His last few games before play was suspended was... was when Colin really blew up. So, you know, it's knew about him before the draft, obviously, an Alabama product when he played against Dukes, Grace, and Allen. They were battling. They had some epic battles and pre-draft workouts. You knew the kid was tough, but it was all going to be a question of could he be a distributor and how would his shot selection be? And he's proven to really stand out in both those areas.
Loved him at Alabama, loved him in college. And that outburst against Brooklyn the other night, where he scored 42, but 20 in a row between first and second overtime, might have been the greatest single display of the young NBA season. Like, that was unbelievable. He was not aware he had teammates. He was like, I am shooting this from the stands. It doesn't matter. You are not stopping me. He felt it for sure on that night. So is there a team on the way out here, Adam? Is there a team sort of below the casual fan radar? And it's always tough to do this in the NBA because it's such a top-heavy league. And no one's going to sit here and suggest, well, I don't think it's going to be the Lakers or the Clippers or, you know, the Bucks or the Nets. It's going to be this team. Like, we wouldn't ask you to do that. But is there a team underneath the surface? Maybe you've already mentioned them. Who you think, let's not talk about the NBA finals. Let's talk about conference finals. That's not in that group that you think is a legit conference finals player.
That's a really good question. I mean, obviously I still think the Nets are going to be right there. I really do believe that. And there's a lot of talk right now about another move. Do they go out and get a Kevin Love? Or at least a JaVale McGee and shore up some more of that backup five spot and Love, obviously. I don't know why you need more shooting and less defense still to that Nets team. But I still feel like the Nets are going to be there. This year, it's weird. I feel like the top-heavy teams, I mean, because I didn't mention the Nets and I didn't mention the Bucks, so I feel those teams are going to be there, Celtics as well. I think if there's one team that you could look at that's consistently there and actually could cause some damage, I think would be the Pacers. That'd be one team that I would also throw in the mix to cause some trouble, a fly in the ointment.
Jason Kahn is the happiest man alive.
Absolutely.
What do you have, Jason,
this
on them?
It's a magical segment, 35-1.
It's a magical. It's like Jason scripted it. What do you have, 35-1 to win the East or the
to
whole?
To win the East.
Oh, I was going to say.
No, just, yeah, it's 35-1 to win the East. I think it's down to 30-1 now, as low as 20 in some places, but... I'm excited about that one, too.
Jason is happy also because I scoffed at Jason when he said he had it.
Yeah.
I
was like, okay. Multiple times.
Yes.
Gil, look at that. It only took you like 12 producers to figure it out. Go figure.
There's still time, Adam. There's still time. Listen, I just want to say again to you, look, we do sports betting 2 hours a day here in the morning. I do it 3 hours again at night with primetime action, and we usually really adhere to that. We do on this show for sure as much as we can possibly do it, but every once in a while, something is worth talking about that is a little beyond betting, and your Rejecting the Screen podcast this week with Noah Kozlov, your buddy, is one of those moments. One of these things in our generation that we'll never forget where we were when Kobe Bryant passed again a year ago today, 41 years old with his 13-year-old daughter Gianna and seven others in that tragic helicopter crash. You guys did a phenomenal job, and I hope everybody checks it out wherever podcasts are distributed. Rejecting the Screen, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Congratulations to you, Adam. And again, I'm sorry it's under these circumstances, but great job.
Thank you so much. And whatever we can do to honor his memory and the memory of Gigi and the seven others in that crash.
Yeah. 18-time NBA All-Star. 18. Five-time NBA champ, two-time NBA Finals MVP, 11-time All-NBA First Team, and really just a generation's Jordan. Players today, that was their Jordan, Kobe Bean Bryant. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the NFL Whale Capper. We'll talk about his reaction to the championship weekend games. And, of course, Super Bowl 55 coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.